song redemption. Moses raised a song. My father's God, and I'll prepare my habitation. I want to create and to build some place where our God can dwell among us. God himself declared that I want to dwell among you. The tabernacle was built and God came down and the Shekinah filled the holy place that Moses himself had to take his exit. Then David desired to build a house for God. And when Solomon finished erecting the building, and Solomon was on his knees as Solomon finished praying, the Shekinah came down and filled the place. And the priests had to leave. No one can stand in there. Beloved, when I turn to Acts chapter 2, a building that would transcend the tabernacle, a building that would be more magnificent than the temple. Solomon said, I want to build something magnificent, befitting the glory of our God. He had looked up and cried out, God, the heaven of heavens cannot contain you. Who am I and what's my people that we should build something like this for within which you will dwell? The Lord Jesus, the greater than Solomon, the greater than Moses, was going to build himself a place far exceeding Solomon's temple for glory. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, 120 believers were together in the upper room in obedience to the word of the Lord, waiting his direction when he said, God tarry with your power until you be endued, that you can be witnesses, that you can carry out my word of evangelism. Wait for power. When the day of Pentecost was fully come. And I like to think that for centuries the Jews celebrated Pentecost. Every year they would celebrate that feast. And this year throughout Jerusalem there were Jews waiting for the normal Pentecost. The 120 in the upper room were waiting for something else. They were waiting for supernatural power. And when the power of God came, they were enabled to speak the word of God in languages that they had not studied. That everyone who came can hear them speak in their own language, and they became amazed, some of them. These men are unlearned, they are fishermen. Where did they learn these languages? They didn't go to college, they didn't go to high school. Where did they learn these languages? And then the scoffers came up. These men are drunk. And Peter stood up in defense of what had happened. Men and brethren, we are not drunk. What has happened to us is the hand of God, the blessings of God, the Spirit of God. You know it in the writings. Joel spoke about it. And he started to declare to them from the word of God what had happened. And by the time Peter was finished preaching, there were men saying, what shall we do? When they heard that Jesus was Lord and Christ, we crucified him. We declared less than 2 months earlier, we don't want this man. Give us Barabbas. We have no king but Caesar. And now they heard less than 2 months later that God had made that same man Lord and Christ. And they bowed down. What shall we do? Peter said, repent and be baptized. And bring yourself under his authority. The man that you declared, we will not have him to rule over us. Peter said, confess that he is your Lord, your master. Submit yourself to him. And 3,000 men submitted themselves to the authority of Christ. And the church grew. There are places where there are assemblies, 2,000 to 3,000 large. There are some places, there are 10,000 and growing. We don't know those places personally. There are assemblies that are 200 to 300. We have some of those. There are assemblies 20 to 30. We have many of those. There are even assemblies less than 20. We have too many of those. The challenge this afternoon, as I ponder this subject, is how do I respond as a member of a local assembly or as a believer in a community where there are these small assemblies? There may be a small assembly where there is joy and excitement, vitality, because it's a new work. The assembly is small because it's new and young. It has just started. And a handful of saints are on fire with joy because they have come to know Christ. They're excited. They're full of life. They're small. Across the street, there are some that are small because they have shrunken over the years. They've experienced the falling away of many. They've experienced saints falling asleep. When we looked at the report yesterday, one assembly in Barbados, apparently the last remaining brother fell asleep. The doors of the assembly closed. When we look across Jamaica, in the past 3 years, over 60 saints fell asleep. Thankfully, there was a net gain of a little over 20. There were more than 20 saints who came into fellowship in response to those who fell asleep. It does not matter this afternoon, beloved, what is the cause of the assembly being small. Whether it's a new assembly or an old assembly that have shrunken over time. We are at this crossroad, and the challenge for us as Christians at the workers' conference is, what will I do? What can I do? What can I encourage the saints in the small assemblies to do? Because it's part of our business when we think of the need of the small assembly. We were reminded yesterday that Potsdam is large, And they were scaring, saying, brothers, although you are part of that nice large assembly, it's not really large because of your labor, you know. You are blessed to be in the large assembly. I got saved and came into a large assembly. Perhaps the second largest assembly at that time, or the largest assembly in Guyana. 3 miles away, there was a very small assembly. And while still a teenager, the brothers met in conference and evaluating the needs around, decided that on a weekly basis, visitation would be made by the neighboring assemblies to that small assembly. So on First Lord's Day, Assembly X would go to visit. Second Lord's Day, another assembly goes. And my lot with my local assembly was to visit on the second Lord's Day. And so for some strange reason, from my teenage years actually, I have been visiting around small assemblies. So we will go with other young men, maybe an older brother, on our assemblies week to visit that local assembly. Brethren, the needs are great. In this small assembly, the ones that are small because of age, because of declension and departure, there is a lot of discouragement. There is a great need to stir up and to uphold the hands of the brethren in those assemblies. And if I understand that in my large assembly and the comforts of it, it's not so much because of my great evangelistic work, why it is large. I have inherited the pleasure of being there because brethren of another generation might have done the evangelistic work. I went up to New York, and in Carson Avenue would have been the largest assembly in the northeast of America. Over 250 when I went there. I don't know the number now. You had the pleasure of active brothers who were like your grandfathers. Another level of active brothers who were like your father's age. And you have brothers who were your little bigger brother and brothers your age and some under you. You had three levels of functioning brothers. You had to lobby for a chance to get a desk on Sunday night. There were so many brothers. At one time at 115th Street in Manhattan, you had to put your name down on a list. You had to schedule yourself for Sunday because the privilege was there were so many brothers who were able by God to preach the gospel, and you didn't want to fall one over the other. You put your name down on the list for the ministry meeting the first Wednesday in next month. That was a good problem to have. What happens in a small assembly where there are two brothers? What happens when there is one brother? I returned to Guyana, and there was an assembly where there was one functioning brother. And he was there because he chose to relocate and adopt the assembly as his local assembly, because the older brothers had passed off. That local assembly would close the door one Lord's Day month, and all the saints will go to fellowship in another local assembly. For the saints in that assembly, it was a great refreshment and encouragement for them. Later, brothers say, "You can't close the door. How can you not keep the door open?" So there was criticism about closing the meeting. I asked, "Brothers, what about if we visited? Maybe that brother who week after week after week after week is the only voice and he needs some fellowship. What if two of us go and the Lord say that he can go with his family and visit someplace else?" As opposed to quoting the scripture, "You can't close the door, brother." That was not the exercise of some brothers to visit. We decided that visitation must be made. That the joy that I have in my local assembly and attending my two local assembly meetings is not the sum total of my obligation to the testimony. The fact that I attend my local assembly prayer meeting and ministry meeting and gospel meeting does not mean that my obligation as a caring brother or sister in the fellowship is all met. What's happening to my brother 3 miles, 4 miles away? Paul said, "We will arise and go and visit the brethren in some other place." Brother, what about getting a car and drive 4 miles and visit your brethren once a month? The needs of the local assembly is no different. The needs of the baby with all of its parts is hardly different from the needs of the adult with bigger organs. It's the same care, the same nourishment needed. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. There is the need for additional brothers to assist in bringing the apostles' doctrine in the small local assembly where there is a one or two brothers. There is the need to join and to lift up hands in fellowship in the prayer meeting. How encouraging it is when there is one brother every Lord's Day, he has to break the bread. He sings, he reads the scripture. What a refreshment if occasionally 2-3 other brothers get in the car and just go to visit that local assembly. We know the numbers. We are acquainted with the names and individuals in the local assembly. It's no mystery. Brethren, it's an issue of whether or not I care or whether I understand. In my broadened vision, it's our responsibility. It's our responsibility. We sit and say, "How come this denomination has come in tongue and they are growing so much? How come the saints are leaving?" Or I stand appalled when the saints leave the meeting and I get my letters of what have you. At what point am I exercise that there is the need and opportunity to visit, encourage, and strengthen? I have a few points to share, and they are not original with me. in that local assembly. Whether we are 10 or 50, we can be warm through our fellowship. We can be warm 20, 10, 5, or 100. We can be warm. Those who come in to visit us when they do should be able to see and to say, see how they love one another. They come in and regardless of the numbers, individuals should be able to feel the warmth and the love that we share. In 1 John chapter 3, we can turn to those verses. Epistle of John, 1 John chapter 3. Verse 11. For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Verse 17, but whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? In both Acts 2 and Acts 4, in the early church, they cared enough that they sold personal belongings and shared with their brethren. The Lord added those who came from another religious background saw a display of Christian love that they had not understood in their Jewish religion. We show care, brethren. In a small local assembly that I attend, Assembly at Melanie, we celebrate birthdays. Sometimes it's a surprise. You come to a meeting. We know it's somebody's birthday, somebody's anniversary. Cake, sandwiches, ice cream, some drink. The saints and the visitors who come in partake of it. We sing, we give words of encouragement and affirmation. It works. Be creative. My small assembly doesn't have to be small, dry, and boring. It can be a small place with warmth, with affection and love. Be creative in my small assembly to demonstrate the warmth and the care. It works. The small assembly can be deeper through discipleship. It might be two brothers. There may be some young people. Teach them, show them how to walk with God. Teach them how to study the Word of God. Become practical. Give hands-on helps how they can function better. We heard yesterday by Brother Brian, concrete steps in soul winning. You know, at times it is painful when you hear the acknowledgement of some saints who have been saved for 20 years, who have never experienced the joy of leading a soul to Christ. A believer encounters someone who wants to be saved. You call a brother. Come, Mary wants to accept the Lord. Somewhere in the building process, we analyze the need. What are the needs? What do we need to turn around the status quo? And part of it may well be teach the saints. You assume that they know. We were in St. Albans some maybe 20 years ago, when suddenly a sister who was in fellowship for about 25 years wrote a letter that she was leaving the meeting. I called her up. How could you leave the meeting to go to a place where there is a one-man ministry and violate the priesthood of all believers? She asked, what's that? What do you mean by priesthood of all believers? I called Brian. I said, Brother B, we have to take up the truth of the Church of the Living God in the assembly, in our teaching. We have to review some assembly principles in our assembly Bible reading. Because if this nice, young, intelligent sister who has been in fellowship for 25 years does not know what the priesthood of all believers mean, then we as brothers, we as teachers, we as shepherds, we have some work to do. Needs come to our faces, needs are explored, and then it's incumbent upon us to develop some strategy, some approach to address those needs. And we took up teaching in the assembly to review, because we assume that all the saints knew those things, just to discover that was only an assumption. So we have to go back and dig deeper in discipleship. Know thou the state of thy flock, the wise man said in Proverbs 27. We must know. And if this assembly is small, there's one brother, two brother, there may well be that need of those brothers nearby in coming together in assessing the need and how those needs can be addressed. I move quickly. The small assembly, though small in number, can be strong in our worship. Revelation 1:10, John said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. The Spirit of God is not bound. The grace of God is not limited. That if there are five believers who have kept the feast of unleavened bread for the week, and you walk in the Spirit and you come Spirit endued, the Spirit of God can so lead a meeting that somebody coming in from a large assembly with choir and pastors and hymn all posted, they turn around and ask, well, these hymns that you sung this morning all blend together. The scriptures tie in with the hymns. Were they pre-selected? No. What happened? And though the assembly is small, if it is strong in its worship, there are those who come in, they can say, of a truth, God is in this place. The numbers are small, but God is in this place. And we who are concerned about the testimony at large, in providing help, shepherding care, pastoral care, ministering care, to help ensure and enhance that these things are met. Broader through ministry. Equipping the saints for the work of the ministry. The assembly is stagnant, it's declining. Nothing seemed to be going on the outside. There was no evangelism. There might be saints who do not know what they can do. The woman had some oil, and she thought, this is the end. My son will be sold as a slave. I'll be destitute more than I am right now because I lose my son. She had something, but she didn't know how to use it nor its power. The man of God said, what do you have in the house? All I have is a pot of oil. Now listen, sister. Go and borrow vessels. Send your boy. Borrow vessels. Empty vessels. Borrow, not a few. Bring the vessels in. And when she brought the vessels, the oil is poured out. One by one. A bigger pot is filled with a small pot. A basin is filled. And then he said, go sell and live you and your son. She did not know that God could use what she had. The man of God opened her eyes. And dear sister and brother in that small local assembly, you may well have already the gift of darkness. And you may need some help in understanding how you can use the skill that you have that can make an impact in that small community. Someone with a shepherd's eye, with the care of building the testimony, may look and say, yes, things are small, but there is something that we can do. There's a local assembly that I visit every Thursday morning. A young sister from that meeting would call, Brother Ashton, are you coming today? Remember, we are at 1 Samuel chapter 3 in our reading. Or tonight is ministry meeting. That young sister, every Thursday, because Thursday I go to visit that assembly, she called. She is playing her part in the building process. The meeting has one older brother and three or four young men. Young men who still need to be taught, to be encouraged. But it's the saints realizing that there is something that I can do. They invite people to come in. How am I going to build? Share thoughts, sensitize saints. What you can do to increase the number and the spiritual vitality in your local assembly. We equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Ministry is the saints being in a position, in a place, where they are available that the grace and blessing of God can flow through them, through me, to reach others. Channels only. Whether it's the word of God that God gives to build up the saints, whether it's a service being rendered, it's a channel that God uses to minister to the needs of others. A young sister may offer help to a young family and reach that family. A young mother needs help in babysitting. Going to the market, there are things that we can do apart from saying, let's put up a tent and have a tent meeting. We heard a lot about personal evangelism. We need to network and discuss in this community what might work. I mentioned yesterday about the small assembly undertaking food for the poor project. You pay for it. Sisters exercise, take the time to distribute the items you see. You call people in the community, come and collect on this day. They come because they see that you care, not only to say, come, Jesus died for your sins, but there are certain things we can do concretely to tell them that we care. And they come, they send their children to Sunday school, and in time they come to see where the children come. Lastly, the assembly will grow through evangelism. One assembly said in the report, we want to have open-air meeting and evangelistic meetings, but we need other brothers to come and help. When you serve the notice, how can brothers say, I don't want to come and help? As one looks over the challenges that we have, the small assembly will grow, or the large assembly will grow bigger by three means. Firstly, it grows by evangelism. They preach. The Lord added, souls are saved. Evangelism. Some places, the assemblies grow because of saints migrating. When persecutions came in Jerusalem, the saints moved from Jerusalem. They went and they preached, assemblies were formed. We have migration, that assemblies in New York and assemblies in many cities grow because people move from other countries and other areas. Church grow by migration process. Churches grow because of our biological contacts. We have our children and our children's children. Thank God for assemblies where there are many young families. We go throughout Europe and in many places. We look in assemblies and there are aged saints. There are no children. And what happened in Barbados happens all the time, all over the world. As the oldest saints die, one by one, they go to the Lord, they go to their labor. The assembly shrink and shrink and shrink until the doors are closed. It is either evangelism, and if in the local meeting there are not those to evangelize, then those with evangelistic gift to neighboring assemblies come and help. The Macedonian call, come over to Macedonia and help us. If I am not fortunate to be in a place where I am the recipient of migration, I don't have any option in the second part. And if we don't have young families whose children will come up in the Sunday school and young people's meeting, and we get additions through that biological contact, then we must evangelize. May the Lord help us, brethren. The challenges of our small assemblies are real. And the report this year, more than any other year, facing us, a local assembly, we have had that in other places, but it became very graphic and real this year of a challenge that faces us. I must ask before the Lord, what am I going to do with this reality? May the Lord help us.